produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us for today's broadcast. This is Terrence Burton with My Father's Teachings. We're going to pray and then we're going to get into the Word of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we appreciate you. We celebrate you. We thank you for your Word. It is indeed life to us. And so, Father, we appreciate you. We lean heavily on your Word to minister to us today. Father, I yield to you so that the Spirit of God can have his way in and through me. I pray for every student, every person who's listening, so that they can receive your word on good ground and their lives become fruitful as a consequence. Thank you, Father. All right, we have been talking about prayer, and what we're going to dig into for now and maybe over the next couple of weeks is the power of prayer. The power of prayer. Now, one of the things I want to say sort of at the onset before we get into the scripture is that when I say power of prayer, I don't want you to think about loud prayer. I don't want you to think about emotional content. And when I say emotional content, I'm talking about, I don't want you to think about excitement or anything like that, because a person may just be excited, but it doesn't mean that the prayer is powerful. A person may be loud, but it does not mean that the prayer is powerful. So what we're dealing with when we talk about the power of prayer, what we're dealing about is someone praying and then the results of those prayers being manifestation of what it is that they have asked God for. Because indeed, it does not matter how loud you pray, how emotional you are, if your prayers are not getting results. If the Father is not hearing and responding, who cares how loud you are, how long you are, how excited you are? Those things are meaningless if there are no results. And so what we're talking about when we deal with the power of prayer, again, we're talking about someone praying and then the results that come from praying. Now, as a foundational scripture for this topic, we're going to go to James chapter 5, verse 16. And it reads, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Let me read that again. "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, there are a couple of things that I want to talk about here to kind of guide us through this particular lesson. And the phrase, the effectual fervent actually means work. So what I want us to see is sort of maybe a different way of viewing prayer, that when we pray, since effectual fervent means work, then we can really see prayer as a form of work. So when I'm praying, I'm working. But what are you working on? I'm working on whatever it is that I'm praying for. It's kind of like when I go to do my job and, you know, I'm grabbing my pencil, my pen, what have you. I get on my computer and I'm doing work towards a certain end. Well, same thing that when I pray, I'm praying not solely because I enjoy praying, even though I enjoy praying, but ultimately I want results when I pray. Now, there are times where you pray simply for fellowship with God, and that's a different matter that we'll talk about. But what I'm talking about here is where we're specifically dealing with You're praying for results. And your praying is a form of work that is being done in order to bring about those ends that you desire. Now, we're going to look at someone in the scriptures for a few moments, if you will. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to take a look at this man named Abram, and we're going to see him pray a very powerful prayer. And again, it's powerful based upon the results that came from it. So in chapter 15 of Genesis, verse 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision." Now, those first three words, "after these things," it's referring to the fact that Abram had just finished fighting people off in order to rescue his nephew Lot. And so it's after these things, and there were a few other things that happened that were a part of that particular battle. But after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. Now, here, God is initiating prayer time with Abram. Now, sometimes with you, God may initiate prayer time, but don't see that as the norm. See that as more the exception to the rule, and the rule being that you initiate prayer time with God. But here, God is initiating prayer time with Abram. And the Bible says, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, don't be afraid, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I'm your protector." That's what he's saying when he says, "I'm your shield. I'm your protector, and I'm your exceeding great reward." In other words, your reward is me. And not only am I your reward, I'm your great reward. Not only am I your great reward, but I'm your exceeding great reward. In other words, I exceed greatness, and you are rewarded with me. That's what God is saying to Abram in this moment after that particular battle had taken place. And so Abram takes this as an opportunity to talk to his shield and his exceeding great reward about something that he's missing in his life that he would like to have. And it says, "And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless?" Now, Abram didn't have any problems being bold. He just comes out, "What will you give me? You're telling me you my shield. You're telling me you my exceeding great reward. Now, what will you give me? Seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed." Okay, you're telling me you're my reward. You're telling me that you're my exceeding great reward. You're telling me, don't be afraid. You're telling me you're my shield. Now, let me tell you what it is that I'd like. Because so far, you haven't given me any children. You have given me no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. So he's communicating this issue with God. And basically, just for you to kind of understand, we're talking about prayer. Prayer is a form of work, but prayer also is basically you're communicating with God. You're talking to God. When you're talking to God, you're praying. Regardless of how loud or soft you are talking to God, when you're talking to God, you're praying. And so here Abram is communicating with God his concern about his own life relative to what he's missing that he'd like to have in his life. And so he says, "Somebody born in my house should be my heir, but I don't have any children. I don't have any seed." But then God says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, "This should not be thine heir." In other words, God goes into correcting mode. Wait a minute. I know what you think, Abram. I know you're thinking that Eleazar is going to be your heir, but not so. He says, "This should not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." Now, keep in mind, God is talking to an old man who also is married to an old woman. And basically, it seems at this time that Abram had pretty much given up on him actually having children naturally. Because that's why he said, "I've come up with another way of having children." Well, not necessarily having children, but having an heir. I'm just going to, I guess, this guy from Damascus, Eleazar, is going to be my heir. And God says, "No, he's not going to be your heir, but you're going to actually have your own child." He that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Then in verse 5 it says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. In other words, look now. Don't look tomorrow. Don't wait to look. I want you to look into the sky right now and count the stars. Go ahead and count the stars, Abram. Go ahead and count them. So the fact that God told Abram to count them tells you that there was more than one star in the sky. He says, if thou be able to number them. In other words, now look, there are so many stars in the sky, Abram. Go ahead and count them. See if you can count them. Because if you can count the stars, then you can count your children. He said, and he said to him, so shall thy seed be. In other words, your seed are going to be so numerous that you can't count the number of them, just like you cannot count the stars. And right there in present moment, here is Abram childless. Well, what does this mean to us? Relative to praying powerfully, Abram was not afraid to talk to God about what it was that he wanted. He had no problems talking to God about it. He was confident enough, he was bold enough to talk to God about what it was that was missing in his life that he really wanted to have in his heart and in his life. And so God says, okay, going back over the promise, God says, okay, I hear you. You're going to have children. You're going to have a lot of them. And then look at what happens in verse 6. It says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. In other words, God spoke the promise to Abram. Abram believed said promise, and God put righteousness on Abram's account. Well, what does that mean? Counted is actually an accounting term, and it has to do with something being put on someone's account. Well, what's the difference? Let's say today you've got $5 in your account and you want a Mercedes Benz, but you're not buying the Mercedes Benz with your $5. So you can't do it because you don't have the funds. You don't have it in your account. But then let's say tomorrow a billionaire gives you $50 million. Now, with the $50 million, you can buy that Mercedes Benz. You can buy whatever kind of car you like. Why? Because what is now in your account. So at that moment, you are to look at yourself based upon what has been put in your account, not what you put in your account. I hope you heard that. From that moment, you are to look at yourself based upon what has been put in your account, not what you put in your account. And so likewise with God, that when, oh my goodness, when Abram believed God, God put righteousness in Abram's account or on Abram's account. Now Abram could have more than what he could have had prior to that time. Because what God does is this. When God finds a man, when I say man, understand I'm using that as a generic term in this context for people, for a person, for a human. When God finds a man who will believe him, then God puts righteousness on that person's account. So now that person, though flawed, can have what they can believe for, not because of their own righteousness, but because God put righteousness on their account. So they're basically able to have this because of God's righteousness, not their own. My goodness, I hope you heard that. So Abram believed God and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, let me help you understand how powerful this conversation is. This conversation came before the Jewish nation. This conversation is the conception of a people. In other words, this conversation is why we have the Jewish people. They came from an old man who had no natural chance of having children, but believed God. And a nation came out of this man's prayer to a faithful God, out of this man's belief in a faithful God. Abraham knew you are the God of all the earth, and you have told me something is going to happen. How can I not believe you? How can I doubt you? You created the universe. Why would I think you couldn't do this? So Abram simply believed God. He believed that God had integrity, that if God spoke something, he also has the ability and the willingness to perform it. And so when Abram believed that, God said, you're righteous. And because of this man praying powerfully, again, there's no indication here he's yelling, but because this man prayed powerfully, a nation was conceived in prayer and born. Talk about powerful. And we have thought that praying powerfully had something to do, and I know not everybody, but some people have thought in truth that praying powerfully was praying loud. You're sweating, you're hollering. You've got all these emotions going on and you're excited. When in truth, praying powerfully is simply, I'm believing the God that I'm praying to. I'm talking to him about what it is that concerns me. And when he has given his word to me, I believe him. I believe that he's going to give me, that he's granted to me what it is that I have asked for. And here we see it right here in the text, that this old man, Abram, believed God because God gave him a word that in the natural seemed like it was impossible to fulfill. In the natural, an old man and an old woman do not produce a child. But what we're talking about is powerful prayer that is not limited by natural circumstances. Because here is Abram talking to a supernatural God. And he understood that this supernatural God could actually cause his body and cause the wife, his wife's body, to produce a child, even though naturally speaking, they were too old to do so. We're going to close it out right there. Next time, we're going to look at someone else who's praying powerfully so that we can really see what the Father has to say. And we're going to look at different examples. And the reason we're going to look at different examples is to show you that it's not about the form. Because sometimes we get caught up on form and we try to have formulas and all that kind of stuff. But we're going to find out as we walk through some prayers that different people prayed in the scriptures, that they do not mirror each other. Well, why is that important? So that you don't feel like you have to mirror someone else in order to pray powerfully. That is ultimately about your faith, not about the so-called structure of your prayer. Because one of the problems that I have identified in the body of Christ is that we try to copy each other. And that tends to create its own set of problems, as opposed to us simply praying from our heart, talking to the Father about it, what it is that we desire, as opposed to thinking that I have to sound like so-and-so in order for God to listen to me. When really, what the Father is looking for is my faith. Not my shout, my faith. Not my emotional content, but my faith. Not that I pray and I sound like somebody else and I remind God of so-and-so. No, it's my faith. And as we learn to utilize our faith in prayer to the Father, then we'll find ourselves praying powerful prayers where we pray and then we'll see manifestation comes, because indeed that is what powerful prayer looks like. It begins with prayer and then it ends with manifestation. and there's faith all through the middle. We're going to close right there and we're going to pray and then we'll see you next time. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we appreciate you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for ministering the word of God to us. We thank you for opening up our eyes and helping us to see things that we did not see before. Father, we adore you and we pray that your word will continue to minister to your people long after today. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and thank God. See you next time. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.